The psychovirus acts in the same way, except that it is unable to enter an individual unless the system is already out of balance in some way, and then when it does, it aggravates that particular imbalance. However, even when the person's system is back in balance, the psychovirus does not leave but merely becomes dormant and will become active again any time the system becomes unbalanced again. This is the state with a person who responds to therapy, gets better, seems to be cured, and then regresses within a few weeks or even days, this cycle occurring time after time. The psychovirus is also like a physical virus in that there are many different forms it can take. I did not realize this at the time, but gradually it became clear from the presence I channeled that there were many more like it, each responding to a particular imbalance. This one responded to repressed anger that seems in this case to have been carried through several incarnations. The presence is unlike a physical virus in that it cannot invade any system unless that system is out of balance, and then not if some other entity is already there. It seems to be attracted to a system only when that system has been out of balance for a sufficient length of time. The system can be one individual or can include several individuals, hence an entire family. It 225 seems to function as a presence that causes the underlying imbalance to be made manifest, if you will, to cause it to be so uncomfortable that hopefully it will be dealt with. Now, how does one deal with this? The first way is to restore the system to a state of balance, at which point the virus will become inactive, that is, dormant. If I understand correctly, as soon as the particular imbalance begins to reappear, it will become active again, reminding the individual, S, that the system is out of balance in this particular way again. The second way, of course, is to get the virus to leave. As yet, that does not seem too likely. It does not yield itself to the usual persuasion, effective with entities, and cannot be simply ordered out. It has made clear that it must stay to prevent a worse presence from entering. As long as it is there, others will not come. My deepest sense of this presence is that it is in no way malicious. The best way I can phrase it, is that it just comes if there is persistent imbalance involving anger, particularly if the anger is repressed and being acted out in hurtful ways, and it will continue to remain active until the balance needed is restored. It does just this and has no other purpose. A positive that comes with this is that no other presence can come into the system while the virus is there. The exception, as I am given to understand it, would be another presence of the same type which would be there because of a different imbalance, hence would be functioning in the same way. Better than the term psychovirus, which tends to imply that it is some kind of mental disorder, which it is not, even though its manifestation seems to be 226, mental. I would like to associate this type of presence with the idea of an elemental because it is cellular in its nature, that is, has a single purpose. Further, I sense it as being concordant in the sense of being harmonious with the particular imbalance involved. This harmonious quality able to amplify the condition. This may seem on the surface as a very negative quality. However, much as a fever indicates an infection and causes a person to pay attention to a problem and not ignore it, or pain makes one aware of an injury, so this concordant element causes the individual, or system, to pay attention to a problem that has its roots in the spirit, S, involved. Thus, to get this concordant element to leave, it must be dealt with at the spiritual level, that is, the injury to the spirit must be dealt with at its source either in this incarnation, for example, as in hurtful family patterns, which would be easiest to deal with, or in a past life, or during a non-incarnate period. The injury that led to the imbalance originally must be located and resolved in order for the concordant element to leave. In summary, 1. The concordant element being there means that the emotional imbalance caused by the injury was not readily resolved and went on for a sufficient time for the element to be attracted to the person, S. Since the injury was not resolved then or at any time until now, the element remains active. 2. The element remains because its purpose is to amplify the imbalance so that it can be dealt with. The squeaky wheel may get some grease, so to speak. Furthermore, It protects the individuals until something is done, even though it may take several aspects of the dark side of existence. I don't think you are contented troubling people. What permits you to infect people? Their anger, their negative attitudes. If they hate life and don't want to live, I can infect them. It's easy if there is resentment in them. Then they teach their young, so I can infect them, too. So you are a servant of the dark side. I asked before this session that a net of light be placed around you. Did I detect a note of pride in your statement that UFMD is easy to infect people? Yes. Being able to do it gives me pleasure. In the beginning it was hard to infect a person, but now it is easy. In the beginning, ages ago. Virus, was there just one of you? No. Are you complex, made of many parts? I don't understand. I just do what I do. I'm drawn to anger and negatives. I can smell it. When you come into a person, don't you make those things worse? I don't know, I just do it. Since the Daughters Church seems to be helping Sally to overcome some of her negativity, I asked if virus infected church people. I can reach only a few, it's light, in church people. I can reach them only when the people are negative, only when there's something there, anger, resentment, hating life, then I can be in all who have those things. When you do infect, what can stop you? When there's light, what can kill you? Nothing can kill me. This client had asked me for help. I didn't know what to do, so I asked the bright ones to calm the anger, despair, resentment, and leave only a restfulness, a great white calmness instead. I asked the bright ones to draw the net of light tighter and tighter around virus and each member of the family, asking also that the nets restrict the selfishness, greed, self-hatred, the feeling of rejection and the need to reject habits that hurt or take advantage of young ones, causing helplessness and hate. Then I addressed virus again. Virus, these are all aspects of darkness. When you infect people, you hinder and obstruct them. Let light shine on the virus. Don't shine the light on me. No. I don't have anything else to do, insisted virus. You may survive only as a seed of light. Jesus, Buddha, great physicians, you both healed psychologically as well as physically. Light will shine on the human beings in this family. Light is shining on you, virus. I am asking spiritual helpers to take you where you need to go. I address the bright beings, please take virus out of all the members of this family, leave calmness and quiet that will heal this family. Virus, as I place my hand on Harry's heart, feel gentleness and power of that light through my hand. You must let me stay. I don't accept orders from any but the bright beings. If you send me away, someone else worse, a dark one, will come. Bright beings, is this true? Or is it our responsibility within our power? Is it permissible to remove virus from this family? The answer was a simple yes to my confusing question. Permissible, is it possible to remove virus permanently? This time the answer was no. Then can we reduce the power of virus? I asked, and the answer was yes. What occurred next in my mind I am not sure, but I went right ahead with wording to send virus clear away, as if I had not heard those answers about being unable to remove virus permanently. As I remove my hand from Harry's heart, I said, I draw virus out of the family and clap it, loud hand clap into oblivion. Breathe in strength for yourself, Harry, and breathe out the virus from this family. And you, virus, encased in your cocoon of light by the bright ones, will be taken to your appropriate place. Harry, is virus still in the family? Harry found that none remained. Is there more that we can do for the family? I inquired. The answer was no, then a pause, then Harry went on, there are thoughts in my mind. Virus is not totally of the dark side, it has been placed there as a way to warn people. I have an image, it is hard to find words. If virus were taken away totally, there would be no warning to people who are drifting away from light. Yes, I understand that, but a neutrality can be attained. I understand. He agreed, and yet I am confused. I spoke to Virus again. Virus, I want to remind you, there's plenty of warning. You don't have to feed on them. The people of this family. Let the light reduce the power and pride you have. I have no power of my own, said Virus. I gain it through them, they call me by their anger. I understand. Nevertheless, I ask the bright beings to shine light on everyone. If the light is in them, I am powerless. I am the lesser of the dark ones. If I go, a stronger one, a dark entity, will come. I appreciate your telling me that. You are more honest than dark ones. Light, please shine in to cleanse the pain and yearning and replace them with quietness and trust. I feel the whole family needs light, said the channel. I began to mention the members of the family, name by name, asking that light shine on each, shining into the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the guilt and sorrow, a great sunburst of light with a beam shining into each member of this family and the three of us here. When two or three are gathered together in the name of love, there is love, and power, and light shining into all members of the family, healing old hurts, resentments, angers, and great light. We thank you. Is there anything else we need to do today? Harry saw that every day we needed to meditate and surround the whole family with light and love. Gradually they will heal. The light will keep the dark ones away. If light is there, Virus can't come. If the aura is open, Virus will come. Is Virus a protection? Is it wrong to put Virus in a cocoon? It seems to be. Sally has sought the church, she is safe. Has it been a hindrance to the family to place the net around Virus? Yes, because Virus becomes totally dormant. Virus seems dark and yet is not, really. It is confusing part of a mystery. All we need to know is that if the negativity goes, the virus is dormant. The light flows in. While virus is there, dark ones are content because virus seems to be one of them. I was still not entirely convinced and wanted to recheck. Master Ching, dark ones can be sly. They tried to trick us. It sounds to me as if virus is trying to say it is all right to stay active in these people. Master Ching, are these words from Harry's lips right? Please answer through the fingers. Yes, said Harry's fingers. All right. But we have to be careful that we don't say yes to a dark one. Master Ching's calm voice spoke. It is a mystery hard to explain. Harry has done the best he can to explain. In days to come, we will try to bring clarity. But I can say to you as a physician that virus is around all the time. Virus can only have an effect when the body is out of balance. When virus warns early, the body can be brought back into balance. Apparently he includes the auric body as well. Virus won't affect this family if there is light. The pain will vanish. I thanked Master Ching and the other bright beings who had protected and assisted at the session. Harry had some last comments about one of the causes of present guilt and sorrow in one family member. Causes that came from a past life event, and after returning to normal consciousness he added, it was confusing. Virus wasn't really of the dark, yet it wasn't light. It was more like a warning that something needed to be changed. Maybe like gravity, I suggested, it just is, good if you walk gently, bad if you walk off a cliff. And we laughed together. As for the client herself, she has passed through several stages of fatigue, distress, and other emotions as she has dealt with the tensions between herself and her siblings, the prolonged illness and eventual death of her mother, and so on. Yet she has weathered all of these and has become more calm, more self-confident, and in various ways appears to have become more mature and assured. Her friends are supportive, and she is meditating daily with her husband. All seems to be going more smoothly with her now, and so on. It had become so unpleasant that the family did not want to live there. Referred by a friend, Millie came to me with her grown son, and although unacquainted with hypnosis, was willing to channel. After the routine clearing, for example, with a whisk broom and guided visualization, I asked her subconscious mind to respond with a finger movement as to whether any entities dwelling in her house were present with us. Her yes finger lifted and her whole body jerked. Stay at a distance, I commanded the entity, but put your thoughts into Millie's mind and she will tell them to me. What is your name? Beardsley, came the answer in a loud voice totally unlike Millie's soft voice. In answer to other questions he said, I'm 80. It is 1986. I'm not in good health, depression is hanging on to me, he began crying hard. My wife divorced me, I was 75, I think. I was moody, mean, and depressed, I killed my body, I shot myself, I was lonely, I was sick. I was manic depressive, not mean because I wanted to be. She didn't understand me. He was rolling in misery in the cot, although I had told him to stay out of Millie's body. Not knowing whether his wife was dead, I called her anyway. Ruby, your husband is crying. He says he wasn't mean because he wanted to be. Let part of your mind come here. Can you be patient with your former husband and forgive him and the old memories? When I received affirmatives, I asked Beardsley if he had forgiven his wife, too. Yes, I did. Ruby, forgive me. I didn't mean to shoot myself. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I understand now, responded Ruby. I asked that someone who cared for Beardsley come, and 240, asked him to look for a light, but his amazed exclamation interrupted, Afi God, my dog is with me. And Ruby's been here with me all the time. I've been here sometimes, amended Ruby. The dog, Blackie, has been there. All of us have been in that house a long time. That lady, Millie, is nice. There's a light, a pretty light, she suddenly commented. And there's my grandma, so bright. She looks so nice. Millie in hypnosis watched while the grandmother led the others into the light, and then I led a guided meditation in which we asked angelic forces to cleanse Millie's house, the therapy room here, and to protect each one of us. Millie's last message to her former ghosts was, go in peace. After all this, however, Millie still saw something dark. I called it, I am calling you, dark. Stay outside of Millie but put your thoughts into her mind for her to tell me. What is your name? Don't have a name. Is it okay if I call you no name? I don't care, my age, I don't know. No. Never had a physical body of my own. I can help you, too. Don't he want to leave a no name was shouting. I want to stay in this room. I don't hurt anybody. You made Millie feel scared. I just made that house stank. And yes, I made Beardsley shoot himself. He wanted to. Stupid bastard. He continued to shout, thrashing Millie's body around on the cot. Be quiet. I ordered. Look inside yourself. What do you feed? Nothing, filth filth nothing. In the very core of yourself, in the very center, I don't know, used to be love. You're getting close. He shivered. I put a blanket over Millie, I think you are tired and cold and unhappy. You say the used to be love in the core of you. That core is still alive, it is still a spark of love. It was created by the great light. Millie's finger said yes. It proves that you are a child of light, not a child of darkness. I've been dark a long time. Too long, I reminded him. It used to be a nice house, now still it's a nice house, with the light here now. I asked him to turn toward the shining beings and open his heart to their light and their love. He began to cry. It hurts to love, he wept. I allowed him to weep a minute or so, reminding him. Yes, it sometimes hurts to love, but it is a good hurting, cleansing away a lot of old darkness and pains. And now I can't call you Dark One any longer, and you need a name. What new name do you want for yourself? After a moment he chose the name Bethany, the name of one of the villages in which the Carpenter of Galilee found friends and peace. Bethany then went on to his appropriate place of peace to complete his transformation out of darkness. I had expected this session to accomplish everything that Millie needed to free her house of unwelcome invisible inhabitants, but the very next day she phoned to tell me that the clearing had been only temporary and that now the problem was worse than ever. A psychic from Denver recommended candles, holy water sprinkled in each room, and so on. Millie asked if anyone could come to Montrose to exorcise the house in person. I thought I would try a remote releasement with a friend to channel here, but in the end I had to compromise and do the releasement over the telephone, from CDG to my nurse colleague in Delta, for Millie's house in Montrose. A rather strong dark was finally released. The session, condensed, follows. First of all, I invited beings of light for protection, wisdom, and guidance of my coworker and me, as well as for Millie, and asked that a net of light be placed around the entity in Millie's house. I am calling the strong entity in the house at, I gave the address in Montrose, please come and tell me your name. Speak through Charlene's voice, she gives you permission. Ice. Colter. Yes, I imagine you are cold and lonely, too. Yes, lonely. I doubt if you are happy, either. I don't know what you are talking about. I know you don't, nor when I speak of love or peace, or compassion, or friendship. All of these belong to a universe you have no idea of. I have friends, you have lots of companions. I doubt if they are friends. Look inside yourself. What do you FMD? Cold, hate, nothing, hate, look deeper, beneath all those, in your very core. Heat, heat. It's melting me. It's hot. No, it's not hot, it's only warm. Who told you it was hot? My friends told me heat is bad, it is dangerous, it will destroy me. Your friends told you lies. Feel my hand, I am imagining that I place it on Charlene's hand. It is warm. You can feel that I am telling you the truth. There was much more arguing, objection, suspicion, and fearfulness. This is characteristic of almost all minor 243 demonic entities, who have been told that light is bad, a form of fire that will destroy them, and they fear it. My spiritual advisor advised us to tell each dark entity two things. First, that there is such a thing as the light, and second, that each entity has free will. I add a third, that in the center of each entity can be found a spark of the light. The Quakers for centuries have held this to be true, and in clinical situations Dr. Bill Baldwin uses this powerful concept to convince dark entities of their own intrinsic original purity and worth. I think you have courage. I dare you to go close to the bright beings. Let their warmth draw you. I don't see them, I feel warmth. Bright ones, will you laser some of your light through to Ice, so he can see you? There was a pause and then a voice said, no, it is to develop his faith not to see until later, then just /carrot/ the warmth, Ice, and go in that direction. What is faith? Asked Ice. It is believing something we can't see, it is trusting. You know I am telling you the truth, so you are beginning to have faith in what I say. Go to the warmth. They will grab me and force me to go with them. No, they never grab and force, they let you have your own free will. Free will is a wonderful gift from the Father of Light, a dangerous gift, for it can be misused. You chose to take in coldness and hate and nothingness. But if you choose now to go to the warmth, you won't be ice anymore. You'll need a new name. What name would you like? Something warm and bright. Not sun, that's too hot. Yes, the sun is too large and bright. How about moon, or star, or lamp, or candle, or glowworm, or firefly? Firefly, 244. And so I committed Firefly to the care of the bright beings to be taken to that intermediate place, which has been defined by them as being C/the light, but not in the light, to complete his transformation from heavy cold ice to swift, joyous, sparkling Firefly. Various therapists have described this intermediate place as being garden-like, quiet, peaceful. Some formerly dark entities have been so happy about their change that they feel no need to change more, and want to begin working eagerly on the earth level to undo former troubles that they had caused human beings and do other good works. I believe that most of these still need more unlearning of the old habits and learning of new ones, and need to go first to the places of learning in the intermediate level, but the change in attempt and goals is remarkable. Most minor demonic entities have been enslaved by stronger dark beings and have been fed lies to keep them in line by fear of punishment. This is told to us by the entities themselves, little by little. Then in later releasements of such entities we can ask as leading questions, who told you that the light is hot and dangerous? Was it your commander, your boss? You can see how the various categories of releasement work overlap. Here is an example of the rescue of a group of ghosts, Beardsley, his dog, and also his wife, who was a part-time occupant of the haunted house, followed by the discovery and releasement of two non-human dark entities, first the little no-name who chose to become Bethany, and later the stronger Ice, who had been hiding from us but who, in the end, chose to become Firefly. New black people knew where to find us. Then some of my family, sort of like a posse, came looking for me. They looked a long time, they didn't want me to come back home. They came to kill me, I guess. Had you injured any of them, by curses, for instance? MHM. Then they hoped to protect themselves by coming after you. There is a basic law of justice, Jenny, a law of compensation, that says whatever you do to others comes back to you. Did you know about this law? No? Then you were ignorant of the law. But you did know it was wrong to sacrifice animals and babies, didn't you? I didn't know it until I was going to have a baby of my own. Four of them came in a boat for me. They tied up the others that there weren't many others and took me into the swamp area, tied me to a tree. One was my brother. All four of them raped me. All four shot the guns, so nobody would know who did it. Shots in the head, hips, chest, and the baby died. What were your last thoughts and feelings? Did you feel that you deserved all this? No. It was their fault in the first place for making me leave. I wasn't doing evil things then. I didn't know the black man was evil. You said you were afraid of what the black man might do to you if you didn't help him. You had fear and felt helpless. Now think of the babies who were sacrificed. They felt helplessness, fear, pain. Now do you feel you deserved your death? Long pause. No, I don't think so. Such callousness is usually an indication of an obsessing dark force in the speaker. Look inside yourself. Is there an entity in you, Jenny? 256. Jenny paused, then said, there's something cold inside. Come out, Cold, I ordered. What is your name? Cold said it didn't have a name, which made me understand that it was probably a minor demonic type. It said that it entered Jenny when she was very young, about 3 or 4. She was never too smart, but she was comfortable, a good place to live. It was easy. She wouldn't mind too much. What was your influence on her? I asked. Well, what do you mean? Oh, make her have temper tantrums? Make her fall in love with an evil man? I might have given a little push along the way, replied the no-name with a smirk. Is there a dark one like you, a brother of yours, in the black man? This time there was a grin. Might have been, Cold, you sound cheerful, but I think that's a pretense. You pretend to have fun, but I think you are really lonely and unhappy. Isn't that true? There was a long pause. I haven't been unhappy. What is your definition of happiness? Happiness is going about your business, doing what they tell you to do. Who tells you to? Condensed here, I know who your boss is. He wants you to think that instant obedience without thinking is happiness. He tells you that you have to obey everything he tells you to do. He says light doesn't exist and warmth is dangerous and will bum you. He considers you his slave. His robot, with no free will. He is the father of lies. You aren't as smart as Jenny if you believe all that he told you. Needled, Cold answered, I'm smart. I do what he tells me, that's why I'm smart, so he won't do anything to me. There was more conversation and argument on both sides. 257, and finally Cold made a cautious decision. He did not want to go back to the darkness and the cold, He didn't like the sound of the round bare room lined with mirrors that would force him to look at himself. He hesitated about going to the light, but he did consent to move to one of the intermediate astral levels, one of those conditions characterized by the bright beings as being of the light but not in the light, where he could rest and unlearn the old things and learn wonderful new ones.